Breath we could ever breathe, we live for.
Yeah. Say it with me. I am no longer a slave to fear. Say that with me. I am no longer a slave to fear. This is what I want you to do. I want you to lock into the fear that sometimes controls you, that anxiety that grips you. I want you to lock onto that right now and just simply say, by the power of God, you no longer control me. You got that fear that just controls you, that anxiety that grabs you? Speak to that right now. Just simply say, by the power of God, I am no longer a slave to that thing. Not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. And we stand in that confidence. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Remain standing with me for just a moment. Jesse and Sarah, would you come and join me up here? They're coming. If you don't know, this is not war paint. I'm not, you know, rooting for a particular team. I had melanoma removed from my face, and then plastic surgeons came in and pulled my face to cover the mess that they cut into my face. And so I have to wear this tape until it falls off. So if I look a little strange to you, pray I don't look like Frankenstein when it's all done. But I did not get a facelift. I got a face forward. So we'll see what happens when it all heals up. But anyway, all is well. It's great to have Jesse and Sarah Humphreys with us. They lead our campus in Silverdale, Washington. I've asked Jesse to grab the microphone. Jesse is going to lead us in prayer that this church is more can be more effective in reaching the military that has been such a part of us for these 30 years. But just before he does that, special congratulations to Jesse and Sarah. 18 years ago at 10 o'clock this morning, they were married. So this is their 18th wedding anniversary. Woo! Amen. Jesse, lead us and remain standing as Jesse prays.
Well, thank you, Pastor Brad. Please bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me. God, you've given us feet to move and a mind to imagine new, greater things and new places and an adventurous spirit. And for those in the military, for us, you've given us a calling to serve you and to serve our country. And so I'm just asking that as we go about and explore this wonderful world, that we thank you for the gift that you've given us in Seaport Community Church. We're still surrounded by danger and sin all around us. But I ask that you protect our steps, protect us on the road and on the sea and in the air and as we travel and bring us safely home again. Protect our homes and our families and the ones that we leave behind. And we just pray for protection around our homes. And even now, as you begin to prepare our hearts and the hearts of the people that we're going to go out and meet and the places that we're going to go to, Lord, I just pray that you make Seaport a refuge for us and our families and take care of them when we're out. Lord, that you make us, you've rescued us from our sin. And I ask that as you send us out and we cast off the lines and we go out and we rescue those others, that you give us a passion and a heart and a serving to you, Lord. And I thank you for that every single day. And I thank you for protecting me and my family and rescuing us. And I thank you for making Seaport just a wonderful place to come home to every time we're here. And I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You guys stay here for a moment. You guys go ahead and be seated. Amen. Amen. It's so great to have them here. All right. So, what would your life be like if you could change some of the habits? That might mean getting rid of some. That might mean adding some. That would enable you to step into all that God has for you. What would your life be like? Well, that's the question that we started with last week, and we kind of wrap up with today. Every one of us have attempted a new habit and struggled to kind of keep it in play and into motion in our lives and struggled to maintain it long term. So how do you do that? I mean, it takes more than willpower. It takes more than just discipline. It takes more than motivation. Those are all part of that. Well, how do you do that? How do you do that? Now, last week we discovered that habits are very powerful forces in our lives, for positive or for negative. We learned last week as well that the brain, how the brain operates, is it takes cues from us. And as we begin to repeat certain things, our conscious brain, as it chooses to do things, our subconscious brain or our habitual brain goes, oh, this is something that we're going to be doing. and they slowly shift it over to a default position, as it were, and it becomes habitual or subconscious. And so when it receives the cue, then it just automatically does that. And so last week we talked about some of those cues. Some of those cues are maybe voices from our culture, maybe trauma and fear, maybe tradition and culture. We talked about how that those cues many times impact our brain and cause things that we maybe never intended to become habits, very powerful habits. And we learned that, you know what, if you don't immediately take control of some things, they take control of you. One of the principles that we took away from last week was a simple one, and that is this. What you choose to repeat can become a habit that masters you. So you need to ask yourself this question every time you do something and you find yourself repeating it. Am I willing for that to become a habit? And am I willing for that to maybe be something that even controls me or masters me? We heard about that from Romans 6. And we learned that once you ingrain that into your brain, it's very hard to change it. Very difficult. Because our brain likes that default, likes that, and it will fight against you to change it. We wrapped up last week with understanding that there's often a first step in changing some habits. Not all habits, but some habits. We left off where, you know what, there are harmful and destructive habits. There are habits that are not necessarily harmful or destructive, but they certainly aren't beneficial, and they're not going to take you to where you could go, you know, but not necessarily sinful. But there are habits that are sinful, that are harmful, that are, you know, that they fall short of what God intended. And we looked at an old word that seems kind of scary, an old word that seems like out of place in modern culture. The word very simply is repent. It seems like the kind of word that conjures up an image of somebody yelling it out on the street corner with a funny sign. But it's not that. That's not it at all. The word repent very simply means to look at the direction that you're going and say, you know what? I'm not going that direction because it's going to wreck my life. I'm going to turn around and go the other direction with God's help. That's repentance. That's a good word. That's a good word. And if you've met Jesus, you probably had an experience of repentance. Where you've looked and said, I'm not going that way. I'm going this way toward Jesus. And you found life. But there are some habits that we have that are not sinful, but they are not beneficial. And you know, those things you just repeat, and sometimes you don't even know because they've moved off into the default position of your brain. And sometimes just struggling with those is formidable. But before we go any further, let's find out why sometimes habits don't really work. Why do some new habits fail? I mean, this truly is not rocket science, but sometimes, let me just give you some reasons why you go to start a new habit and it doesn't lock in, it doesn't stick. Sometimes it's because you and I attempt too many habits or too much all at one time. We decide, you know what, I'm going to get my act together once and for all. And we say, okay, so I'm going to change this, 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 and this, and I'm going to start doing this, 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 and this. And it's overload. It's overload. You can't take on 3 and 4 and 5 new habits at one time. You'll never do it. Or we think, you know what, I'm finally going to get a hold of my health. I'm finally going to get back to the gym. I'm finally going to get a hold of my money. We want to start a new habit, but we start with too much. We say, you know what, instead of going down and maybe doing just one very small, short, light workout, we go to the gym and come home unable to move for 3 days. Oh, man, I can't go back to the gym after that. You know, and too much, too much. And we haven't really learned how to balance that all out. Or maybe we haven't learned that in order to add, you have to delete. We haven't figured out. Maybe we haven't really gotten a good look at our lives and said, you know what, if I'm going to add this, it means I'm going to delete this. If I'm going to delete this, it means I need to add this. And sometimes you need to stop and think and answer the question, wait a minute. You've heard me say this. If I'm going to take something away, I can't leave a vacuum. I've got to add something to it. If I'm going to add something to my life, something else has got to go. What's the other thing? And sometimes habits don't take hold because we haven't thought through the impact. You'll hear about that. Now, others of us, you know, we start out real well. The morning starts well. The afternoon goes okay. But in the evening, the willpower begins to fade. And about 9 o'clock, that bag of chips is calling your name. We've all been there. We've all been there. Willpower fades. Sometimes it's tougher than we thought. Interesting. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he talked about being careful if you think yourself strong that you don't find yourself falling. And we have this inability to really quantify accurately just our ability to handle temptation and difficulties and bringing discipline to ourselves. We really have a struggle in doing that. Surveys consistently show that you and I overestimate our ability to control ourselves. It's the person who says, you know what? You know what? I can stop this anytime I want. I can start this anytime I choose to. And then we find out it's not quite like that. It's like the Facebook meme where somebody says, when do you want to start? And everybody goes, Monday! And the person goes, well, today is Monday. And everybody responds, next Monday! I've seen that's cute. But sometimes it's tougher than we thought, and it's easy to kind of push it off. You know, we often will glibly say, and is this really true? People say, how long does it take to start a new habit? Many people will say, well, it takes about 21 days. Well, that's true for some people and for some habits. But for a lot of other habits and a lot of other people, it can take 2 months or longer to establish a habit. And so it's challenging sometimes. And sometimes maybe it's a little tougher than we thought. But then again, maybe the response is negative to the new habit. We decide, you know, we're finally gonna start. Maybe your new habit is, you know what, I'm really gonna go back to church and go faithfully to church. And then your family looks at you like, what's wrong with you? You become a fanatic for some reason? Why are you going to that church? I mean, some of you have told me this. And you say, you know what, I want to go there, I get something from it. Yeah, but you don't need that. And so you get this negative feedback to your new habit, you know? Or maybe maybe the crowd that you're with, you say, you know what, I got to get out of this pattern of whatever it is. Maybe it's drinking, I don't know, whatever it is. And you say, you know what, hey guys, no, I'm just not tonight, I'm just not. I say, you know, I just want to, I just don't want that in my life right now. I'm trying to make some changes. And they're often, their reaction is, instead of like, hey, man, that's great, good for you, they go, so what? You're better than us now? And you get that kind of thing. And it takes a lot to keep that new habit going forward in your life when you're getting all kinds of negative feedback. And that can be very, very, that can be very challenging. I get it. I mean, you know, as I read and studied about habits and habit formation and such like, couple of great books, and I'll refer to them later for you. But, you know, sometimes if you are generally fatigued, you have low blood sugar, I mean, you're just in a poor state physically, it's going to be hard for you to bring a new habit to bear in your life. This is just a fact. I mean, so if you are poor health, that's going to be extra challenging. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just simply saying it'll be tougher for you to do it. But sometimes, and here's the last reason I want to give you, these are things to arm yourself with. Sometimes there's little or no affirmation. You need a cheerleader. You need people around you. They're going to say, you know what? That's so awesome. That's so great. Now, our grandson is a case study in this. It's so funny. Of course, first time he saw the surgical tape on my face, he grabbed my chin and did this. He wanted to see, what in the world is that on your face, Grandpa? You know, and then he decided he was going to peel it off. I said, no, we're not doing that. All right. But, you know, Felix is kind of funny. I mean, he'll climb those 5 stairs in our house up to a bedroom level. He'll get up to the top of the stairs. He'll turn around, and he'll smile, waiting for affirmation. And then I'll clap, and then he claps. And it's just kind of fun. But you know what? We do the things that so often, if there's an accountability, if there's an affirmation. And so you know what? Can we be a church of affirmation? Can we make a commitment to one another? When we see changes taking place in our lives for good and for God, can we be the kind of church that goes, you know what? I've watched the changes that are taking place in your life, and I think it's awesome. It's just great. Keep going. Can we be that kind of church and not the kind of church that's always finding fault with each other? Can I get a commitment from you that that's what the kind of church we're going to be? I ask you this week to go out of your way to think of somebody in this church. If I had the time, I'd ask you to do it right now. You get up and find somebody that you've observed God is changing their lives. Maybe they don't talk the same way. Maybe they don't act the same way. Maybe they used to do a certain thing they don't do anymore. And you see a change. Why can't you go up to them and say, you know what, I've noticed the changes. I think it's awesome. Keep going. That's all you got to say. Can we be that church? Let's be that church. Because that affirmation will go a long ways. Will go along. Because sometimes God is working in our lives and we don't really see it. And have somebody affirm that is a great thing. You know, so, I mean, these are some of the reasons, you know, that, but what I want to do right now is I'm going to walk through a passage of Scripture that Paul wrote about changing habits, getting rid of some old and adding some new ones. Originally, this was a letter, and there's going to be five people that are going to help me today because we're going to read a good portion of chapter 3, and they're going to come up here at the microphone and take turns. And so, Adam, if you'd queue up right now, you're going to read the first section. Then we'll be right behind him. So when Paul wrote this letter, he was writing it kind of to help out his friend Epaphras. Epaphras was the guy, he was a young guy, on fire for Jesus. He started the church in Colossae, probably Laodicea and Hierapolis. He probably started three churches. He was a crazy man. But he was having some struggles in the church because he himself wasn't exactly a super seasoned Christian. And he was having some struggles in the church, and there were some questions and some issues. So he finds Paul, and he gets Paul to write a letter that we call the Book of Colossians. It was a letter to the church there. And we're going to read chapter 3, a portion of it. These guys are going to kind of help me out here just a little bit, and then we'll respond. So Adam, read verses 1 and 2, please.
Since you have been raised to new life in Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in a place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth.
Amen. You'll see it up there. You'll see it up there. He read it in a different version. You'll see it up there. That's the New Living Translation up there. Okay? So, all right. Bottom line here. If you're going to make a change in habits, first of all, here's the first critical thing from this passage of Scripture. It's got to come from your heart. It just cannot be an intellectual thing. You've got to embrace this from the depths of your heart. It's got to include your heart. It's got to include your emotions. It's got to include your mind. I mean, you've got to be all in on this thing and take action. But here's the thing. Paul is simply saying that any kind of real change, it doesn't come by pure willpower. It comes by the resurrected power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives and operates in you and has the ability to empower you to bring change. You're not all on your own. Aren't you grateful for that? You don't have to like conjure up all kinds of willpower. No, the power of the resurrected Jesus living within you is going to give you the grace and the strength to bring the changes that you need to bring. Easy? Not necessarily. But you know what? That's what Paul is simply saying. And Paul is very, again, what he's saying there is habits are critical because they become that which either keep us from or lead us into the place of blessing that God has for us. I don't think any of us want to be stuck, do we? No. Here's one of the things I don't want. And Tim, if you'd cue up. I don't want to be, not that this would happen, but I wouldn't want this to happen. I wouldn't want to stand before God on that day and have the Lord say to me, you know, you could have done so much more. You could have had so much more. You could have experienced so much more, but you chose to stay stuck in that rut and that habit and that pattern. I don't want that. You don't either, do you? We want to move forward into all that God has for us, and that's why we're talking about this. So let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Tim, please.
For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory.
Let me give one simple thought to those verses. If you're going to change habits, especially old life habits, and you're going to hear about old life habits in just a moment. If you're going to change old habits, especially ones that have controlled you, defined you, identified who you are as a person, if you're going to change those, one of the things that Paul, and he says this repeatedly, is that you've got to look at yourself and go, you know what? The old life, the old me, is dead. I'm not living that way. I'm not talking that way. I'm not going that way. I am dead to that. Unless you have that, and sometimes with habits, you've got to simply say, you know what? I'm dead to that. I refuse to allow that to control me. It is dead, and I refuse to be allowed to be controlled by that which is dead. Amen? Some of us have relatives that have been long dead, but they still control us by their attitudes and their thoughts and the things that they put upon us. And we're still living underneath the impact of their lives. And we need to break free from that. Some of us need to do that as well. Others of us just need to simply say, you know what? That sin, you know what? It died. When I gave my life to Christ, I was baptized in water. That's what baptism means, right? I died to the old way, and I was resurrected to new life. And I wish I could wash everybody's sins off and leave them in that tank, and we could flush them. That'd be great. But that's what it means. The resurrection power of Christ helps us to break the habits of the old life as we count ourselves as dead. Diana, you're gonna read the next section. Come up and read that for us. Andrea's after that. I've asked, these are folks who come, you wonder how I chose these folks. I asked many of them last night. These are some that come every Saturday night to pray. Diana, read this for us.
So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now it's the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language.
Can anyone say, no wonder I need the resurrection power of Jesus? That's quite an agenda of stuff to change, isn't it? Guess what? You're not going to line all that stuff up and go, well, I'm going to change all these habits. Not happening. You can line them all up and say, with the power of God, we're going to take these things on, and these things are no longer going to control my life. I'm no longer going to be controlled by sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever I feel like when I feel like it. You know? I mean, I'm no longer going to be controlled by a life that's ruled by feelings. I'm no longer going to be controlled by a life, you know, of that where at any moment I can explode in anger. I'm no longer going to be controlled, you know, by a life that's characterized with a bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. All that stuff is the old life junk. Amen? New relationship with Christ means got to get rid of that stuff. Now, I know a lot of us thought that this series was going to be about, oh, you know, 3 steps to being successful. Guess what? You can forget 3 steps to being successful if you don't deal with that kind of stuff first. Because that stuff will overtake any skill that you have. You deal with character first, skill will then come. You focus on skill, without the foundation of character, everything falls down. I'll get practical with you in a moment. No worries. All right. So no wonder Jesus says to us, you need my power to bring change in all of these areas because you don't really have the power and the strength to do it. It isn't like, oh my gosh, just today I got to be a better person. Forget that. Today, Lord, you've got to help me to get a handle on whatever it is. My anger, my meanness, my dirty talk, you know, my whatever. It starts there. Amen? Andrea, come and read Colossians 3:9-11. And then Julie will finish it off in just a moment. Andrea?
Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us.
Read that first verse again. Read verse 9 again.
Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds.
Now, you're going to, thank you, Andrea. Okay, now you're going to hear something here. Paul, again, remember the two-stage process. You're going to hear it in Paul's talk. Paul said, okay, first thing you do is you get rid of this stuff. Now, you're going to hear more about that in just a moment. You're going to hear about the other side of it, because you can't just get rid of stuff without adding something. Now, again, I've not been in the military, but I've observed it for a long time. And, you know, before you joined the military, you were free to dress about any way you wanted to dress. But when you joined the military, that changed just a little bit, didn't it? Now there's this thing called the uniform. All kinds of different uniforms for all different kinds of occasions. I don't know how you guys keep it straight some days. But anyway, and so you know what? You put on a new wardrobe, a new uniform, okay? You've left, as it were, civilian life. You've become a member of the military. You have embraced a new identity as represented by the uniform that you wear, and it comes with the responsibilities and the privileges of what you've sworn to uphold. It comes with all of that. And it immediately, civilians, when we see you in public, we know immediately you're a member of the military and what you stand for, and we thank God for you. Now, we don't wear robes around the community that says, I'm a Christian. But we do wear a robe of righteousness by the words that we speak, the actions that we carry out, the things we do, the things that we don't do. That becomes our identity. And believe me, if you're living for Jesus, people will see the difference in you pretty easily. You may not have a rank or a title or a name, on your uniform, but it won't take them long to figure out there's something different about you. But you know what? When you join the military, there's a brand new habit. And I've watched some of you go through this, the new habit of preparing and wearing and making sure that every single pin and ribbon is exactly where it's supposed to be, and you have meticulously written code for that. We as civilians, we don't even really get that most of the day, you know. But you, men and women, do. And you've taken on that new habit of preparing and wearing your uniform, and most do it with pride and honor. It's your identity. Well, you have it on. We as Christians, we don't put on and take off our uniform. We don't put it on to go to church and take it off Monday through Saturday. We wear it all the time. And do I dare say we wear it proudly? Yes. For I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. We put off that old way, and we put on the new life. Amen? Julie, read this last passage to us from Colossians. Chad's on respite today? Otherwise, Julie can't move when Chad's around. Read that for us, Julie.
Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony.
Wow. You want to talk about pins, ribbons, and medals. That's the kind of stuff that should be pinned to the robe of righteousness that you and I wear. Did you hear it? Did you hear it? Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength and discipline, even tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense, forgive as quickly as the Master forgave you, and wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Never be without it. Talk about never leaving home without it. Never leave home without love. Amen? That's the starting point. You say, what's that got to do with habits? It's very simple. We take off the old life. We put on the new life. And the more we embrace the new life, the more power that is within us to bring the habits forward that we need to step into all that God has. And let me just let you in on a little secret. You can have three steps of success over here, but if you haven't got these character issues resolved, God will keep cycling you back until you get the character issues resolved. Because that's his priority. That's his priority. Okay? There's a, I didn't put a picture up it. There's a short little book. It's not a Christian book, but it is a good book on habits called Many Habits. And it's a simple book built on a simple premise. The simple premise is this. You know, as you prepare to establish any kind of habit in your life, it's a little different for us as Christians because we're not trying to motivate ourselves. The Spirit of God is within us, and he is motivating us. That's his job. But in the book, it's interesting. His whole premise is to start small, to exert small effort, you know, not try to go big right off the top. But certainly you and I, with the power of God in our lives, we can start small. His big thing is simply, I started with one push-up. I just did one push-up. And then, you know, I started with writing just a few words a day, and now he writes, I don't know, 5,000 words a day. He's an author. And so, you know, but he said, you know, I just started small. I didn't try to jump into the deep end of the pool, you know. And so maybe the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you last week and this week, or maybe, you know, some other time, and he's simply saying, you know what, we need to change this. We need to delete that. We need to rework this. We need to add that. That's what his job is. That's what his job is. And he's trying to get that stuff out of your life. You know what? And sometimes it just takes that small effort. And here's the thing. As you exert that small effort, the Spirit of God then steps in and empowers that effort. It's a little secret. I hope that you know that. You know, I mean, but the challenge of it is that many of us get stuck with the perceived difficulty. Like I said earlier, it's very difficult for us to figure out, you know, just how difficult something is. And we most almost overrate or underrate the difficulty of a new habit. I mean, you have to be very careful the level of difficulty that you assign to something, because almost invariably we look at something and go, oh, that's easy, I can do that. We find out we can't. Or we look at something and say, man, that's so tough. I mean, I can't even think about doing that. That is just so incredibly difficult. And just embrace the simple thought is that you probably have not accurately determined the level of difficulty or ease at which you're going to embrace that, and you'll have to adjust. You'll have to adjust. And the third thing is this, is that, you know what? Obviously, we've all heard it, no pain, no gain. Yeah, and that's true, but sometimes there's so much pain that then no gain. You know, the negative effect, you know, sometimes habits, produce all kinds of new habits. The thing we're trying to add, they create adjustments and changes and things that are difficult, and we're trying to get a hold of our money, and that means, okay, we just can't go do this thing anymore, or as often as we used to do that. And that has become a habit, and to bring the change, that feels very difficult, and it feels like life has lost some of its pleasure, and we have to adjust to that. And you can kind of fill in your own experience with that, but until we begin to see the positive benefits of that, which will come pretty soon, you know, it's a wrestling match. That's just part of it. Sometimes there's what is called subjective fatigue. We look at something and we just simply go, man, that's going to be so difficult to do that. I'm just tired even thinking about bringing that change. I'm not going to bother. And we stop right there. You know, some of us get stuck right there. And again, sometimes it's, you know, and the author brings this out in Many Habits. He talks about blood glucose levels and the importance of just proper health, because when you're not healthy, you're not physically well, And I mean things that can be easily changed, or not maybe easily changed, things that can be changed through just moderate exercise and just changing dietary habits. Sometimes those changes are enough to bring motivation, and it is to bring other change. And in the book, it's very interesting. They talk about key habits. Often when you change your health, when you change exercise, when you change dietary, often people who do that then begin to build the motivation and the ability to change a series of other habits in their lives. And it's really interesting, the habit of change that begins to cascade into their lives. If you want, just read that book. You can get it on Kindle and download it, you know. And maybe that'll really help. But here's the bottom line in all of this. The fact of the matter is this. In Philippians 1:6, it says that the Lord will continue to bring change into our lives even until the day of Christ's returning. A way to understand that is simply this, is that God recognizes that change is going to be a continual process in all of us, and we're never going to get to the point where we don't have to change, see something changed in us, or a new habit doesn't have to be embraced, or a new habit, we don't have to go through some sort of change. There's Everil right there. I don't know how many of you know Everil. Everil, I'm going to embarrass you just for a second. You don't have to say anything. I just want you to stand. Would you just stand right where you are, and then you can sit down. Can you do that for me? Everil, I'm looking right at you, sweetheart. I want you to stand up and sit down. Just turn around, wave at everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Everil's fairly new to Seaport. Now you know her name. Her name is Everil. Not Everett, Everil. I've known Everil since I was a kid. She played piano for decades in the Assemblies of God Church in Ledyard. Okay? She's fairly new here. This is an adjustment for her. But you know what's amazing about this 92-year-old lady who drove herself to church this morning? She came early to pray. Embrace the change. 92, she's embracing change. How about that? Knowing that God will give you the grace and the strength and the discipline to carry that thing through so that you can be what God wants you to be, because he's not done with you yet. Amen? Amen. I don't want God to be done with me. I want God to continue to wrestle with me. I want to be everything I can be for him. Amen? Amen. Amen. And guys like Ken Gobb at 82, Do you know that he is United Airlines' number 2 frequent flyer? He's at somewhere around 10 million miles. I'm at somewhere around 250. I can't even imagine 10 million. Here's the thing. Embrace the change God desires, knowing he will give you the strength and the discipline to do what he wants you to do. He calls for change in your life, not to harass you, not to harangue you, but he calls for change in your life so that he can bring you into a place of blessing and of significance. And remember, God's definition of significance and blessing is influence on others for the sake of eternity. Let me wrap this up. I'd like the band to come back right now, please. Today, this is what I want you to do. I want you, and I've been asking you to do this. I'm asking you with me. Say, God, I need wisdom. I need revelation. I need to know what I need to change. If God hasn't made that clear to you, he will. What do I need to change? What do I need to add? What do I need to delete? And then you begin to embrace the strength and the power that he gives to you. Begin to say, you know what, man, I gotta add this, but I got to get rid of this thing. Remember, Paul said, you've gotten rid of this, but now you got to add this. And you start small. You don't go crazy. You start small. So what's the one thing? Stand with me today. What's the one thing Spirit of God is saying to you right now that you need to change? Lord was wrestling with me hard on something. Back and forth on this. I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me with this. He said, this is what I want you to do. It's interesting what he told me to do about that matter. I said, well, that's not exactly easy. And so I started to do what he said to me. Is it fully ingrained? Not yet, but it's getting there. The Lord's going to speak to you, because I've been praying this morning. I was praying that he would do this. He speak to you right now about what needs to change. What you need to get rid of, what you need to add, what you need to... How are you going to do that? Remember, you don't get rid of something without adding something. You don't add something without getting rid of something. And what is the Lord speaking to you today about? Is it an attitude? Is it a habit? Is it a... Just, what is it? And this is what we're going to pray right now, and I'm going to ask the ministry team, our altar team, to come stand across the front if you do that right now. And there are those of you that today, I'm going to pray a general prayer, and then some of you may want to respond to this. And today, if you've never invited Christ to come into your life, today is your day to repent and say, I got to go a different direction. I'm going to Jesus. I'm not going my way no more. If today is your day to meet Jesus and say, you know what? I'm not going my way. I'm turning around and going to him. Then come and talk to one of these folks and let them help you find life and his power to see real change. Nobody's asking you to change yourself by your own strength. You only change it with his power. But this is what I want us to do as we close. I just want us to pray, God, whatever I need to change, show me what it is right now. And then show me how to change it. God, right now, by your Holy Spirit, by your Holy Spirit right now, I'm asking you to show every one of us what is it, what's that one thing that we need to change? That one thing that's holding back blessing. That one thing that's keeping us from stepping further in to what you have for us. God, show us that one thing. God, we don't need all of it. We'd never get it done. But just show us that one thing. And God, even speak to us even right now and help us to know what we can do. You know exactly how we're wired. Show us what we can do to bring change. Spirit of God speaking to some of you right now. Listen. You're saying, you need to change this. This is how I want you to do it. And you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to simply say, I can't do that. But with your resurrection power, I can bring change. And I'm going to start. I'm going to start small. I'm going to start easy. And I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to build a new habit in my life. Because God, you know what? Sometimes, friends, God is frustrated. He's not frustrated at you so much. He's frustrated. He wants to bless your life and to bring you into greater places, but he can't do it because he's stuck because you're stuck. Can we get unstuck? Father God, right now, speak to our hearts. Cause us to know. By your Spirit, I pray. Amen. Let's sing this song. And then I'm going to dismiss us. Singing this together, I'll dismiss us right after this song. And if you need to respond, let them come. You come and they'll pray with you. Let's sing this and then we'll go.
I'm in awe.
Tell you what should be the greatest motivator in any kind of habit change is one word, that is love. I love God and I love others, and that becomes the motivator. That's far greater than I love myself and I want to change. I love the Lord God with all my heart, my soul, and strength, and I love others, and I want to be my best for God and for others for His great kingdom. That should be the greatest motivator. Amen. Spirit of God, help us right now to respond as we need to. Dismiss us in your great grace, we pray. Amen. Amen. Man's going to continue to play. Go quietly. If you need to respond, please respond. Let people pray with you. It's a great team. Let them pray. God bless you. Have a great day. Amen.